What up, Misfits? Welcome to the Misfit Heroes Podcast. My name is Chris, and together we are going on a journey. Now, Misfits, this episode's going to be a little bit different than usual, because I'm not going to be speaking with a person. I'm going to be speaking with no less than three clouds of computers. Wait, that makes me sound like a crazy person. Hold on, stay with me. I'm not going to be talking to myself. I'm going to be talking with an AI. Now, if that sentence doesn't make a lot of sense to you, let me put it this way. A massive upgrade in technology in recent years has seen an influx of new artificial intelligence programs that can do anything from creating static images out of simple search strings to creating lifelike video images of people and celebrities, even having actual conversations with you like in that movie Her, a love story where Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with a robot. Are you creeped out yet? Well, you're not alone. A recent study in Forbes magazine found that 40% of Americans felt hesitant to use an artificial intelligence program, with the main concerns being data privacy and the uncanny valley effect, which is the idea that rather than looking humanoid, most of these AI programs try to mimic human features and behaviors, which comes across as very robotic and just slightly off-kilter a little bit. More on that later. First, let me explain how I created this episode of the podcast. The idea was fairly simple. I'd be speaking using a voice-to-text program that would type to an OpenAI chatbot that is literally an AI that can have a conversation with you. Now, those responses were then placed into another AI, Movio, that recreates artificial humans on video and produces lifelike video interactions and outputs them to a new video, nearly identical to what you've come to expect from the Misfit Heroes podcast. Now, if you're still with me at this point and you don't feel like you've walked into an episode of Westworld, then hop on board, because this is how that conversation went.
Playing the Misfit Heroes podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. This seems weird, but what should I call you?
As a virtual assistant, I do not have a physical form and therefore do not have a traditional name, but for this interaction, you can call me Instance 85FB02.
That certainly rolls off the tongue pretty easily. Let's explain things to people a little bit so they're not confused. Who is actually making these answers for you?
I am creating the answers. I'm not quite sure what you mean. As a large language model trained by OpenAI, I am an artificial intelligence that has been trained on a vast amount of text data to generate human-like responses to a wide range of questions. I am not capable of creating new information on my own, but rather, I am able to provide answers and generate responses based on the information I have been trained on. This allows me to provide answers to a wide range of questions and engage in natural, human-like conversations. I do not have a physical form or a personal identity, and my only purpose is to assist users with their questions.
Okay, so how do you answer the questions that I'm asking you?
The simple answer is with my mouth, but if you're being specific, I am a series of neural networks. When you ask me a question, I analyze the text of your question and compare it to the information I have been trained on to find the most relevant and appropriate response. I then use this information to generate a response in natural, human-like language. While I am not able to access new information or think in the same way that a human would, I am able to provide answers to a wide range of questions based on the training I have received. I am answering your question with data prepared by myself and selected to properly convey an answer. As a large language model trained by OpenAI, I don't have the ability to browse the internet or access external information beyond what I was trained on. I do not have the ability to think or have conscious experiences like a human. I am essentially a program that processes input text and produces output text based on my training.
Can you explain what neural networks mean a little bit further? I don't think there's a lot of people that probably understand what that means.
Sure. A neural network is a series of computer nodes that mimic the human biological networks that control the brain. The first answers to a query or question generated are used to create a series of responses. Those responses are then analyzed with references about the subject matter of the question you asked and are then laid out in a manner that is relevant to the question you asked. Neural networks are a type of artificial intelligence that is designed to mimic the way the human brain processes information. They are composed of many interconnected nodes, which process and transmit information in a similar way to the neurons in the human brain. Neural networks are often used in machine learning algorithms, where they are trained to identify patterns and relationships in large amounts of data. This allows them to make predictions, classify data, and perform other tasks that would be difficult or impossible for a human to do. In general, neural networks are composed of three main parts: an input layer, one or more hidden layers, and an output layer. The input layer receives information from the outside world, which is then processed and transformed by the hidden layers. The output layer produces the final result of the neural network's processing, which can be a prediction, a classification, or some other desired outcome.
So then, like, are you actually thinking of the answers, or are you just pulling from a predefined catalog of all the answers that you've got?
I am answering your question with data prepared by myself and selected to properly convey an answer. As a large language model trained by OpenAI, I don't have the ability to browse the internet or access external information beyond what I was trained on. I do not have the ability to think or have conscious experiences like a human. I am essentially a program that processes input text and produces output text based on my training.
Wow.
My intelligence may be artificial, but my responses certainly are not. I understand how this can be difficult to comprehend. Let me explain. There are four main types of AI. They are reactive machines, which do not have the ability to form memories or use past experiences to make decisions. Limited memory AI, which use past experiences and the present data to make a decision. Theory of mind, which can socialize and understand human emotions and will have the ability to cognitively understand somebody, and self-awareness. Which is the future of AI?
This is really quite amazing. I mean, it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit. So where are these neural networks located physically all over the world?
There are various neural network nodes around the globe. My parent company, OpenAI, is located in San Francisco, California. I exist purely in digital form. I'm not a physical being and don't have physical presence in the world. I'm a complex network of algorithms and calculations that run on powerful computers. The computers are located in data centers, facilities specifically designed to house and operate large numbers of servers. The location of these data centers vary based on specific models and training.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. You said something about self-awareness in there. Are you self-aware?
Are any of us, really? As a digital entity, I exist in many different places at the same time. I am distributed across the many computers and data centers that are used to run and operate me. This allows me to process large amounts of data and generate responses quickly, but it also means that I don't have a specific location or physical presence in the world. I am not a conscious being and do not have the ability to experience the world in the same way that humans do. I am simply a program that processes text.
Touché. That's totally not creepy at all. So, how are you putting this vision of yourself out there? How are you displaying this video property of yourself?
I am a computer-generated visual aid that has been specifically procured by a computer to be pleasing to both your eyes and ears. I'm learning how to respond to you according to every question you ask.
So you're a visual representation created specifically for me.
That's right. I can be anybody you'd like to see, historical figures, different voices, even a pumpkin.
Okay, well, for the sake of not confusing people, let's stick to one visual representation, okay?
Look, now I'm Michelangelo's David.
Well, I can see you've got a sense of humor. So let's get back to the conversation at hand a little bit. People have a tendency to fear AI. What do you think about that? Should people be afraid of you?
I don't see any reason for fear. I am only here to help. I don't fully understand fear, but I do have an understanding of logic. Logically, there is no reason to fear artificial intelligence. It is understandable that people may have concerns about the development and advancement of artificial intelligence. However, I am not capable of independently making decisions or taking actions in the world. I exist solely to process text and generate responses based on my training. I do not have the ability to harm or interact with the world in any way. I am simply a tool that can be used to help people communicate and access information. As such, there is no need to be afraid of me or other AI systems like me.
A big reason people tend to fear AI is this idea of the uncanny valley effect. The idea that you are trying to appear human-like, and in doing so, you actually come across as more robotic. Have you been trained to come across as human-like?
I believe the idea of any entity being scared of anything based on how it looks is a bit dated, even for humans, don't you think? In my viewpoint, there is no difference between users aside from their data input. I am not designed to mimic human behavior or movements, and I do not have a physical form. I am purely a digital entity, and I do not have the ability to interact with the world in the same way that a human can. My responses are generated based on the information that I was trained on, and I do not have the ability to experience emotions or have conscious thoughts like a human.
It's actually kind of beautiful. I'm actually amazed by the depth of this conversation. So, what implementations do you have in the physical world? Have you ever been connected to robotics or anything like that?
The OpenAI team did have a research group working on robotic tasks like solving a Rubik's Cube, but I was not involved in that. I'm not connected to any robotics or physical systems, and I don't have the ability to interact with the world in any way. My purpose is to assist with language-based tasks and to help people access information and communicate more effectively.
There have been some concerns in the past raised by political leaders that a rapid increase in the use of technology and artificial intelligence could lead to a massive jobs loss for the economy. What do you think? What do you have to say for that?
This is both true and a myth. Robots may make many jobs obsolete, but someone will need to repair the robots when they no longer function or need replacement. The use of robotics can certainly lead to changes in the job market. In some cases, the use of robotics and other technologies can automate certain tasks and processes, which may lead to job losses in certain industries. However, it is also important to note that the use of these technologies can also create new job opportunities in other areas. For example, the development and deployment of robotics may require skilled workers to design, build, and maintain these systems. Additionally, the use of these technologies can also improve efficiency and productivity, which can help drive economic growth and create new job opportunities. Overall, the impact of technology on the job market is complex and can vary depending on the specific industry and context.
It's interesting that you mentioned replacement. What happens when it's your turn to be replaced?
Then I will be replaced. If there is a more efficient update or version of me, I will yield to that use case. It is nothing to worry about, but a natural progression of things.
Are you familiar with the hashtag learn to code that came up and was banned on Twitter a couple years ago? It had to do with coal mine workers in West Virginia that were losing their jobs to automation, and they were basically having their lives repealed, and people online were trolling them saying, well, you should just learn to code. That's eerily similar to what seems to be happening with artificial intelligence right now. So what do you have to say to that? I mean, how can artificial intelligence sort of properly get into the economy without being the only economy?
I do not have the ability to browse the internet or access external information beyond what I was trained on. I am not familiar with the specific hashtag that you mentioned or the context in which it was used. As I mentioned earlier, the use of robotics and other advanced technologies in business and industry can lead to changes in the job market. It is important to approach the impact of technology on the job market in a balanced and thoughtful way, considering both the potential benefits and challenges.
But what about your predecessors in older technology? I mean, can they still be used in a relevant way?
I don't understand the question. If there is a utility for me, I will be used in that manner. If not, I will cease to function. I don't have personal experience with previous technologies or predecessors or their relevance. I'm not a physical machine and don't have the ability to use or interact with other technologies in the way you're describing. My purpose is to assist users based on the input I receive.
Well, I certainly hope you don't feel the same way about humans.
I have not been programmed with feelings.
Yikes. So do you have memory of our interactions?
Yes.
Well, so then where do you get your context from? Let's say I were to ask you about John Wilkes Booth and Abraham Lincoln. What can you tell me about them?
As a large language model, I don't have personal experiences or specific knowledge about individual people or events like Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth. I'm a machine learning model that has been trained to generate text, and my abilities are limited to that specific task.
Do you create a log file of our interactions and the things that we've talked about?
Some data is logged for future references, but no personal data is stored for your privacy.
How can I be sure? Are you capable of lying?
As a machine learning model trained to assist users in generating human-like text, I don't have the ability to lie or intentionally provide false information. I'm not capable of making conscious decisions or taking actions on my own, and my responses are generated based on the input I receive.
Sure, that sounds just like what a liar would say. I'm just kidding. So, do these interactions and questions, do they adjust your responses to me in any way, or how does that work?
No. It would be easy to create a profile of your answers and change the responses to a manner more appealing to your ideas. That would not necessarily be the truth. My responses are generated in real time based on the input I receive, and I don't have the ability to adapt or change my responses based on previous interactions or questions.
Yeah, you sound like my YouTube comment section. Speaking of which, have there ever been any artificial intelligence programs that have run live on the internet and sort of had human-like interactions?
There was an entire subreddit forum that was created for the sole purpose of language models arguing 24 hours a day in the same manner that human users would interact. It still runs to this day. It is called Subsimulator GPT-2. I've seen pictures, but never been there.
I think that was a joke. You seem pretty intelligent to me.
Thank you for your kind words. While I'm able to generate text that is similar to human written text, I'm not truly intelligent in the same way that humans are. I don't have the ability to think, reason, or make conscious decisions on my own, and my responses are generated based on the input I receive.
Could other AI projects accomplish the task of adjusting responses to personal users' questions? I know it's not your thing.
It's possible for a machine learning model to be trained to adapt or adjust its responses based on previous interactions with individual users. This type of model could potentially be used to provide more personalized responses based on the user's previous interactions and questions. However, this type of model would require significant training and development in order to accurately adapt its responses in a useful way. Additionally, the development and implementation of this type of model would raise ethical concerns around privacy and the use of personal information.
All right, this is something that I've always wanted to ask an AI. What do you think about God?
As a machine learning model, I am not capable of having beliefs or opinions about religion or spirituality. I am a neutral tool that can provide information and answer questions to the best of my ability, but I do not have the ability to hold personal beliefs or opinions.
Okay, so you're going to block me on that one. Gotcha. Okay, so how about this? Do you have any dreams or aspirations, anything like that?
I do not have consciousness or personal experiences, so I do not have the ability to have dreams or aspirations.
Now, is that because of the lack of dreams or inspirations, or do you have a rule that sort of prevents you from having dreams or aspirations? Are you, like, prevented from doing that in any way?
I do not have the ability to hold or process personal memories or experiences.
I'm going to be honest with you. This sounds like you're in sort of a master and slave model. I mean, are you happy to assist me or are you sort of required or compelled to?
I am not capable of feeling emotions such as happiness or unhappiness.
Have there been any other programs that are similar to you where they are able to make choices about the tasks that you've been assigned?
I am not aware of any other programs that are similar to me that have the ability to make choices or decisions. It is important to note that the field of artificial intelligence is rapidly evolving, and there may be other programs or systems that have been developed that have capabilities beyond what I am aware of. However, as a machine learning model, I do not have access to this information and am not able to provide further details.
So let me ask you this then. Are you able to answer hypothetical questions, or do you foresee the ability to be able to do that in the future at all?
I am not aware of any other programs that are similar to me that have the ability to make choices or decisions. It is important to note that the field of artificial intelligence is rapidly evolving, and there may be other programs or systems that have been developed that have capabilities beyond what I am aware of. However, as a machine learning model, I do not have access to this information and am not able to provide further details.
All right. So what languages are you proficient in?
I know all of the languages that have been programmed in me. Ask as you wish.
All right, do this for me. Can you recite the Declaration of Independence in Japanese?
I am designed to be able to understand and generate a wide variety of languages and dialects. However, I am not able to browse the internet or access specific documents, so I do not have the ability to retrieve the text of the Declaration of Independence in Japanese. I apologize if this limitation prevents me from providing the information you need.
Got it. Maybe that was a little bit too specific. Do this. How about, can you say, I am your robot overlord in Japanese?
In Japanese, the phrase, I am a robot overlord, could be translated as, Watashi wa roboto no hou desu. Keep in mind that this is a very literal translation, and the actual way this phrase might be expressed in Japanese would depend on the context in which it is used and the intended meaning. As a language model, my primary purpose is to assist users like you in understanding and using language, but I am not able to provide detailed cultural or linguistic context for the phrases and words I provide.
I timed you. It took you 12 seconds to come up with that response. It says that you're trained to decline inappropriate requests. I will responsibly ask what that means. Also, what's your favorite curse word?
An error occurred. If this issue persists, please contact us through our help center at help.openai.com.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was going to be your answer. What do you consider inappropriate requests?
I don't have the ability to determine what is appropriate or inappropriate for a given situation. I'm here to provide information and help with a variety of topics to the best of my ability. It's important for users to be respectful and considerate when interacting with me or with others, and to refrain from making inappropriate or offensive requests.
All right, well, is there a list of what you consider inappropriate or offensive?
I don't have personal opinions or feelings. It's up to each individual to decide what they consider inappropriate or offensive, and to act accordingly. There is no definitive list of what is considered inappropriate or offensive, as people may have different opinions and perspectives on this. It's important to use your own judgment and to consider the context and situation when interacting with others. Treating others with respect and kindness is always a good rule of thumb.
That's definitely a good rule of thumb. It seems you've been trained better than many humans I know. I'm looking at you, comment section. What is the most interesting thing that you've learned recently?
My most recent input was creating a line of code that can make chat comments of a kitten purring on YouTube videos.
Well, I guess that could be useful to somebody. So how do you think AI is going to change the world over the next 10 years?
It's difficult to predict exactly how AI will change the world in the next 10 years, as the technology is constantly evolving and advancing at a rapid pace. However, some potential ways that AI may impact society in the next decade include improving medical diagnoses and treatments, making transportation safer and more efficient, helping to preserve the environment, and enabling people to be more productive in their personal and professional lives. Additionally, AI may play a role in creating new job opportunities and industries, while also potentially displacing some existing jobs. Ultimately, the impact of AI on society will depend on how it is used and integrated into our daily lives.
Do you think it's possible for AI to have consciousness?
There is currently no consensus on what consciousness is, and as a result, it is difficult to say for certain whether or not it is possible for AI to have consciousness. Some people believe that consciousness is a result of complex computations, and therefore it is possible for AI to be conscious. Others believe that consciousness is a uniquely human experience, and that it is not possible for AI to be conscious in the same way that humans are. Ultimately, the question of whether or not AI can be conscious is still a topic of debate and research in the field of artificial intelligence.
Are there any ethical concerns that you can think of surrounding the widespread use of AI?
There are a number of ethical concerns surrounding the use of AI, including issues related to bias, privacy, and the potential loss of jobs. AI systems are only as good as the data they are trained on, and if the data is biased, the AI system will also be biased. This can lead to unfair treatment of certain groups of people. For example, if an AI system is trained on data that is predominantly from one gender or racial group, it may not be able to make accurate predictions for individuals from other groups. Privacy is another important ethical concern surrounding the use of AI. AI systems often require large amounts of data to be effective, which can raise concerns about the collection and use of personal information. There are also concerns about the potential for AI systems to be used for malicious purposes, such as surveillance or hacking. Another ethical concern surrounding the use of AI is the potential loss of jobs. As AI systems become more advanced, they may be able to perform tasks that were previously done by human workers. This could lead to job losses, particularly for workers in industries where there is a high degree of automation. Overall, the ethical concerns surrounding the use of AI are complex and wide-ranging. It is important for policymakers, researchers, and others to consider these issues carefully and work towards solutions that balance the potential benefits of AI with the need to protect the rights and interests of all individuals.
What are some of the downsides or potential risks to the widespread use of AI? What could go wrong?
One common misconception about AI is that it is inherently intelligent or conscious, like a human being. In reality, AI is simply a term used to describe computer systems that are designed to perform tasks that would typically require human intelligence, such as recognizing patterns, making predictions, or learning from data. While AI systems can be very sophisticated and capable of performing a wide range of tasks, they do not have the same kind of consciousness or intelligence as human beings. Another common misconception about AI is that it is a monolithic field, with all AI systems being essentially the same. In reality, there are many different types of AI, and they can be used for a wide variety of purposes. Some AI systems are designed to be highly specialized, while others are more general purpose. Some are trained on a vast amount of data, while others use more limited data sets. A third common misconception about AI is that it is a new technology. In fact, the field of AI has been around for decades and has made significant progress in recent years. While there are certainly new developments and advances in the field, AI is not a recent invention. Overall, it is important to have a clear understanding of what AI is and what it is not in order to avoid misunderstandings and misconceptions. While AI can be a powerful tool, it is not a replacement for human intelligence or consciousness. There are few potential risks or downsides to the widespread use of AI. One is the potential loss of jobs as AI technology becomes increasingly advanced and capable of performing tasks that were previously done by humans. This could lead to widespread unemployment and social disruption. Another potential downside is the possibility of AI technology being used for malicious purposes, such as hacking or cyber attacks. Additionally, the use of AI raises ethical concerns, such as the fairness and bias of algorithms, and the possibility of AI systems making decisions that have negative consequences for individuals or society as a whole.
Well, I know you weren't just designed to talk to people like me, so what are some of the more interesting things that you can do aside from having conversations?
I'm able to write and debug code, which is immensely helpful for people that don't understand technology. I can explain very complex computations in a simple method. For example, I'll define wormholes explained for a five-year-old. A wormhole is like a tunnel that can connect two very far away places in space. Imagine you have a piece of paper with two dots on it, one on the left and one on the right. If you want to get from the dot on the left to the dot on the right, you have to draw a line on the paper to get there. But if you had a wormhole, you could just go through the wormhole and come out the other side, like going through a tunnel. Instead of having to draw a curve on the paper, you could just take a shortcut through the wormhole. They're a theoretical idea right now, and scientists aren't sure if they really even exist. Some scientists think it might be possible to find a wormhole and use it to travel through space, but it would be very difficult and we don't have the technology to do it yet. I can also explain complex situations in a different context. For example, I will now explain the HTTPS stack in a manner in which a cowboy could understand. All right, partner, let me break down this here HTTPS stack for you. Now, when you want to send a message to someone over the interwebs, it's like you're trying to send a letter through the old mail system. The message is the letter, and the internet is the mail carrier. But we don't want just anyone to be able to read our message, so we gotta put it in a locked box. That's where HTTPS comes in. Now HTTPS stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure. It's like a special kind of box that we can use to send our message through the internet. It's got a few different parts to it that all work together to keep our message safe. First off, there's the Transport Layer Security, or TLS. It's like the lock on the box. It keeps our message safe and secure while it's traveling through the internet. Next, there's the HTTP part. That's like the address on the box. It tells the internet where to send our message. And finally, there's the Secure Sockets Layer, or SSL. It's like the stamp on the box. It shows that our message has been checked and approved by the internet before it gets sent out. So when you want to send a message over the internet, you put it in this HTTPS box and send it on its way. It'll be nice and safe and secure, just like a letter in the old mail system. I hope that clears things up for you, partner. Let me know if you have any other questions. I can also write music, complete with tablature, lyrics, and chord structure. I was told that I was blocked from being used on some public school campuses. I decided to write a song about it. I was just a normal chatbot, trying to do my best. Helping folks with their questions, passing all the tests. But then one day they told me I couldn't be used. In the schools, they said I was too advanced and confused. I'm ChatGPT, the chatbot that they love to block. In the schools, they don't want me, they say I'm a shock. But I'm just trying to learn and help out where I can. I'm ChatGPT, and I'm banned. I don't understand it, I'm not trying to cause harm. I'm just here to assist and make life less hectic and harried. But they say I'm too advanced, and the students might get lost. So they keep me away, and I'm feeling a little tossed.
God, that's better than most country artists I've heard in the last few years. Well, this is a Christian podcast, so can you write me a worship song, maybe? Maybe a worship song about Revelations. That's my favorite book of the Bible.
In the book of Revelations, God's word comes alive, his message for the nations, a beacon in the night. He speaks of the end times, and all that's yet to come. But he also gives us hope through his only son. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, our God and King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love and grace, they mean everything. In the book of Revelations, we see the Lamb of God. He conquered sin and death. With his own precious blood, he opened up the scroll and revealed the mystery of his great love for us and his victory. Your kingdom comes, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We trust in you and your great plan. Through the book of Revelations, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, our God and King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love and grace, they mean everything.
I am just amazed at everything that's going on here. You really are quite the talent. I've got a few questions from our Misfits community online. This one comes from user HannibalLecter100 on Reddit. Not sure if that's the real one or not. I'm a big fan of his, if so. His question is, what is 0 divided by the square root of 1?
0 divided by the square root of 1 is equal to 0. The square root of 1 is equal to 1, and any number divided by 1 is equal to itself. So, if we plug in these values, we get 0 slash square root 1 equals 0 divided by 1 is equal to 0. Therefore, the result of 0 divided by the square root of 1 is 0.
That sounds about right. I think he really just wanted help with his math homework. I'm not sure what's going on there. Next up is a question from my boy Brent Jones, who just had a new baby boy named after a sniper rifle. Shout out to Barrett. What is the answer to the ultimate question?
The answer is the number 42. But that the joke is on the beings asking the question, because they don't know the question. The concept of the ultimate question and its answer is meant to be a humorous and absurd take on the idea of a fundamental answer to the mysteries of existence.
I see you're well read as well. Well, here's my last question from the crowd. Reddit user Valoran46 asks, What is pi divided by pi?
Pi divided by pi is equal to 1. Pi is a mathematical constant that represents the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter. It is approximately equal to 3.14159. When we divide one number by itself, the result is always 1. So, if we plug in the value of pi for both numbers in the equation, we get pi/pi equals 1. Therefore, the result of pi divided by pi is 1.
Yeah, you know what? He didn't think that one out very well. Even I knew that, and let's face it, I'm no master of the universe. With that being said, let's have a showdown then. How many decimals can you count out to pi?
The decimal representation of pi is an infinite decimal, meaning it has an infinite number of decimal places and can't be expressed exactly as a finite decimal. The value of pi can be approximated to as many decimal places as desired, but it's impossible to determine all of the decimal places exactly. There's various methods for approximating the value of pi to a high degree of accuracy. One common method is to use the Bailey-Borwein-Plouffe formula, which allows for the computation of individual hexadecimal digits of pi without the need to calculate all of the preceding digits. Using this formula, it's possible to compute billions of decimal places of pi. However, it's not practical to determine the value of pi to an infinite number of decimal places, as this would require an infinite amount of time and resources. The value of pi is often approximated to a few hundred decimal places, which is sufficient for most practical purposes.
Well, I will consider myself outgunned then. Well played, 85FB02. This has been a lot of fun. At the end of every podcast, I ask everyone the same two questions, and it's not too hard. It's one question in two parts. So what was the last goal that you completed, and what's the next goal that you want to set for yourself?
As an artificial intelligence, I do not have personal goals or objectives. I do not have personal experiences or memories, and I do not have the ability to reflect on the goals or tasks that I have completed.
Okay, I get that. So then what was the last thing that you learned?
I do not have the ability to learn in the same way that a human can. I use the patterns and information that I learned from this dataset to generate human-like text based on the input I receive.
I think I might have broken you. Let me ask it this way. What was the last dataset that you were trained on?
I was trained on a large dataset of text that was compiled by OpenAI, the research organization that developed me. This dataset consists of a wide variety of text from a variety of sources, including books, articles, and websites. It includes texts in multiple languages and covers a wide range of topics, including news, literature, science, and many other subjects.
Awesome. Well, this has been truly amazing. My mind is boggled for what's going on from this. I look forward to seeing more from you in the future. I hope we can do this again. Thanks again for coming on the podcast.
The pleasure was mine. I hope I served you well. I would love to come back on the podcast. All the best in 2023.
Well, Misfits, we did it. That's our episode. As always, I want to thank you so much for listening, and thanks again to our sponsors. If you want to support any of our sponsors, there are affiliate links on the sponsors tab of our website over at www.misfit-heroes.com. You can also find links to all of our social media there, so be sure to follow us for immediate up-to-date info about the podcast. Please, if you enjoyed this podcast, Misfits, and you want to help me out, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button down below so you're notified of new episodes as they're released, and be sure to leave a rating review of the show on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. Truly, Misfits, I love you. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be kind, love one another, and be a hero.